Awesome. That's good to hear. Worship was awesome. Before I get started in the message, I just have a little quick video. And the reason I wanted to show that this video this morning was because of what this little lady is saying. She is basically bringing almost all doctrine and everything together with just a little statement. And some of you, I'm sure most all of you know who she is, Gabby, that won the gold medal as a gymnast. She said something that was so profound, and it just put everything in perspective. Do you have that? Can you show that? It's not going to probably be great quality, but just I wanted you to check it out. Okay, here it is.
Life isn't everything you thought it would be. It is everything I thought it'd be. Being the Olympic champion is definitely an amazing feeling, and I give all the glory to God, and it's kind of a win-win situation. The glory goes up to him, and the blessings fall down on me.
And in that final rotation, this was an...
Okay. Did you guys get that? Now, you won't find that probably anywhere because they really don't want it to be shown. I told them to bring me a chair. Oh, thanks, Betsy. That was nice. Feeling a little weak for some reason today. So, intercessors, go for it. That all the glory goes to the Lord, and then the blessings just keep coming down. She put it all in perspective right there. Not only for herself, but for each and every one of you. For me, that if I give glory to God in everything that I do, then the blessings are going to keep coming. Now, you may have seasons that it doesn't seem like that, but if you keep giving glory to the Lord, the blessings are going to keep coming into your life because that's who he is. That's what he's all about. Amen. All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we just ask today that you would reveal your heart to us. We ask, God, that you would touch us in a powerful way, that you would move, and that we would be drawn closer to you because of the yes in our heart during this time together. I just thank you, Lord, for those that are here, and I thank you for what you are about to do. In Jesus' powerful, powerful name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I don't think this is going to work. So I'm going to, if I fall down, then I'll just hold on to the chair. I'll grab it back there, I guess. Okay. Well, this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be in the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning's message is a lot different than previous messages that I've given. And I'll tell you why, because I feel like the Lord wants to reveal his heart more and more to you and to myself. And he wants us to understand the need, the necessity for us to draw near to him like we've never drawn near to him before. And if that is going to happen, then that means we're going to probably have to deal with some things in our life that hinder us or keep us away from the Lord, that distract us. And in Matthew chapter 5, it's an amazing chapter because it talks about different temptations that all of us can encounter that will hinder us or distract us from walking fully in what God has called us to walk in. But it also opens up the door that I believe God wants to open up supernatural provision, and he also wants to do supernatural things in every man and woman's life if we will get ourselves positioned in the place of love. If we'll get ourselves positioned in the place of the Father's heart, the desire of each and every one of us is to have the Father's heart, to have the heart of Jesus in every matter. Now that sounds a little radical, doesn't it? Or does it? I think it's normal Christianity. And so today, I want us to go after that. Today in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's about understanding a doorway that's available. I wrote down that God, if we can get some of these doors opened, that supernatural provision would come and a supernatural lifestyle would begin to follow us. My concern about your heart, my concern about being up here and speaking to you and about my heart has a lot to do with having a vibrant heart for the Lord, not a dull heart. Many people are trapped in this dull Christianity. The word is dull. Prayer is dull. Worship isn't happening. And God does not want you, and he doesn't want me to walk in that. He wants us to have hearts that are on fire for him. And that means that we need to do everything we can to really give our heart a checkup, to see where we're at, how we're responding to the word of the Lord. A vibrant heart. In Matthew chapter 5, it starts with verse 22. It starts talking about different temptations that will keep us away, different sins that will keep us away from the Lord. Now, I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to focus on the last one, but here's some of them. I'm just going to kind of go through them. In Matthew 5, 21 through 26, it talks about anger, and we have to resist continuously anger in our lives in any situation, because our great, 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 whatever you want to say, grandfather Adam allowed sin into our lives, and so we have a sin nature. So we have to make sure that we put anger in check each and every day. I don't know about you. I want to get real with my walk. I don't want to pretend up on a stage. I don't want to act like everything's okay in worship when at home I'm angry all the time with my wife or my children. It's ridiculous. And you would say the same thing. Why is this happening in my life? Why can't I not have a vibrant heart continuously? And so anger is a huge thing that will keep us away from walking our life out in the Lord. On Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30, immorality. If we're saying we want God to do all these things in our life, but yet in a hidden way, we have immorality going on in our life, then I don't think supernatural doors are going to open up to us. I'm not saying that we don't stumble in sin and grace is sufficient. I'm not saying that. I'm saying about God wants us to be 100% obedient to his word and what he has for us. So we need to address immorality and how it's sliding its way in and out of our lives. I knew that when I got done today that my message would not be too popular. So you can save all the amens to the end if you'd like. Come on. Matthew 5, 31 through 32, another great resistance that's going to come against us, another great temptation with many different people is disregarding the sanctity of marriage. Our nation is disregarding the sanctity of marriage. I heard about this woman that went over to minister and entertain the Christian lady, the troops in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And I heard that right before she went on, they made sure you can do whatever you want to, but you better not speak the name of Jesus. You cannot speak Jesus. Our own government is hindering us from saying the name of Jesus. Immorality. The sanctity of marriage. Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Keeping our commitments. Let your yeses be yes and let your noes be no. And if you say something, do it. And if you can't do it, let them know. Keeping our commitments. These are sins. These are things that keep us away from what the Lord has spoken over us. That if these things would be taken care of, things would open up. Matthew 5, 38 through 42. You can look these up later. Retaliating. The whole thing about somebody hit you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. We feel like we got to retaliate on everything that's said or spoken or anything that's done that doesn't even sometimes concern us. And we have a spirit of retaliating. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We have to trust him in every area. Why am I hitting this? I'm not a real fan of Facebook, but I will tell you this. I'm watching men and women, young and old, Republican, Democrat. It's just absolutely silly. And I'm telling you what's silly about it. We're getting into a place where we're just getting hateful toward one another regarding politics. It's amazing. And you see hatred just manifesting itself. I'm not saying truth, I'm saying hatred and anger. Now, this is the last one, and this is the one I'm wanting to focus on. Being passive in our love toward our enemies. The Lord is very clear. Let's go to Matthew 5:43. Says, this is Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay, you heard it was said. What Jesus is doing right there saying, the Sadducees and the Pharisees have taught you wrong. They've changed the word of God. Because in Leviticus, it doesn't say that at all. But they've changed it. In Leviticus 19:18-34 says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. That's in the Old Testament. That's in Leviticus. But they've turned it around because the Jews were very racist, and they were very jealous, and they had a lot of hatred toward a lot of people, and it was wrong. And Jesus got them together and says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. I believe that as Lana got up here and was talking about the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, that take his yoke, I believe that we need to lay some things down, and you might even be thinking of people that are your enemies even right now. That you need to lay some things down so that you can pray for them. That you would ask the Holy Spirit to help you to love them, to bless them. You can't get away from the Sermon on the Mount. He is revealing his heart to us so that we can be free. And if we hold on to things, it causes bitterness and fear and all kinds of regret and shame and hurt. And the Lord's saying, I love you so much, I want you free of that. I want you free of that. I don't want you living in some kind of hatred anymore. I don't want you to be against your enemy. You know, Jesus prayed right in Luke right at the end, Father, forgive them, the ones that killed him, that was his enemy, and he loved him, and it was an example to us. And the Lord is saying, can you position your heart in that place? Can you love them? Because if you can begin to love them the way I love them, I can open up supernatural doors to you. I can bless your life. But you need to respond in a genuine, real way. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, bless them. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. People that use you, pray for them. Love them. That spitefully use you. Isn't this contrary to our very nature? Isn't this like, I don't do this. I'm trying to walk this out. I've had moments of walking this out. But the Lord is saying, that's enough. You need to live this each and every day. You need to pray for those that persecute you. You can't be speaking about everybody else and you got everything else going on in your own closet. You got to deal with that stuff. Because what happens is you won't have the peace that you need in order to make it even through the days ahead. The reason I felt the Lord put a weightiness on that scripture was because I felt like as a church, as a people, no matter where you live or where you go, we're headed into some things that we're going to be really tempted to be offended and take things into our own hands. And God is saying we need to be in the position of his heart in every situation. You think of martyrdom, because that's never preached much. But think of the powerful impact that martyrdom has when you love the people that kill you and the impact it has on everyone around them. If you want to see the gospel go forth and you lay your life down and you pray for those that want to kill you, Now, don't get me wrong, and I'll talk about this another time. If somebody comes to my house to do me physical harm, to kill my family, I'm going to protect my family. But I can't have enemies day in and day out and not pray for them, love them, bless them, and do things for them. Because it doesn't work. You can hide it. You can act it out. You can act spiritual like you really got it going on. But down deep inside, you're holding this thing against this person, individual, ministry, whatever it may be. And believe you me, I don't have anybody in mind when I'm talking. I'm just trying to talk to get us free. I'm trying to point to the Word of God that says, listen, you do not avoid this. I tell you what, when you say love your enemies, you're talking about one of the hardest things in the Sermon on the Mount. One of the hardest places in that scripture is love your enemies. What? What do you mean? And of course, you know the scripture, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He'll take care of things. You know why he says love your enemies? You know why? Because your enemies, he's passionately in love with them. Just like he is with you. And he's trying to get your heart to have his heart toward them. Because he knows that if you begin to have that type of heart, that all your feelings inside are going to change. When you hold things against people, you're not holding them against them. You're holding them against yourself. You're hindering yourself. And God's saying, love them. Pray for them. Forgive them. Release them. And this is just something we really have got to get a hold of. Bear with me here a little bit as I move through this. Verse 45, that you may be, this is so powerful, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. Should I back that up again? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's just common grace that God gives because God is God. Common grace, it's not saving grace, it's common grace. And common grace is basically that the rain and the sun is on all people and we're all blessed by it. He holds it all together. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Let me back up. I missed that. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Tax collectors, and what they're using there is an example that you know, they have friends and they have family. Don't they love their friends and family even too? And they don't even know the Lord? I'm not saying tax, you know what I mean. But that's an example. They don't even know the Lord. And so if you just love the people that love you and you call yourself a man or woman of God, what difference is there? What difference is there? I want to get this. I hope you do too. I want to get this. I want to be able to have that type of heart before the Lord. You know, as soon as the Lord started laying this on my heart, I was bringing everything, anything. I felt like I didn't have anything against anybody, but there was a few people that still, some things that have happened, and I started praying blessing on them, literally saying their name and blessing them. And guess what? Soon as I started blessing them, my heart began to change about them. I could feel it start changing. But until I did it, my heart was going to remain the same. It needed to be calibrated. It needed to be tweaked a little bit. Therefore, you shall be perfect, verse 48, as your Father, or mature as your Father in heaven is mature. Getting victory in this area is huge. Responding in the opposite spirit is huge. If you avoid this, then you won't face your bitterness. But if you confront it, you'll face bitterness and you'll face your fears. I believe great advances in the kingdom will happen because of the fact that we'll begin to embrace these type of things. We'll begin to deal with these type of sins in our life. We won't hate our enemies. We won't live in the place of revenge, and I've got to get even. But instead, we'll begin to embrace the love of the Lord and begin to pray for people. We can't be racist. I think I had some low blood sugar and I ate some peanuts back there to try to get myself going. So if a peanut comes flying out, we're family, you know, that's how it has to be. And it has to be that way. It has to be that way. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, you see that Jesus identified the Samaritan as a neighbor. Totally, absolutely human. Not separated. Jesus at the well. The lady at the well, the Samaritan woman. You see how he treated her. That was an example. Married five times. Gives her living water. It's huge. So here we have this. This is about our enemies. This is about our enemies. God is calling us to bless them with our words. So if you want to write this down, you can. That you would bless them with your words. Then he's saying to do good to them. That means that you do an action, something toward them, good to them. He's saying that you pray for them. And these enemies might be in your family. They might be in the marketplace. They might be in the church. They might be anywhere. But if they're there, you need to deal with it and ask the Lord to help you. Matthew, again, 5:44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. And cursing could be, you know, if somebody slanders you or says something about you behind your back. And he's saying, you need to bless them, do good to them, do good to those who hate you. You know, there's a lot of people that want to see you fail, and they're hoping that you will. I don't know what they accomplish out of that, but yet if you fail, you know, I guess it makes them look bigger or better or something, or that they were right. And if you've got that kind of spirit inside of you, you need to really repent of that. This meeting is about repentance. Don't let that be in there. Have you ever been sitting talking to somebody where they can help you stay in your stuff? I know you never have. I'm the only one that's done that. Where, you know, somebody will mention something about somebody and it's like right on the edge. And then, or maybe say you'll say something about somebody and it's right on the edge. You know you shouldn't be saying it. It's wrong. It's not the heart of Jesus. It's not right in the Christian faith. And so you're saying something about them. And then that person all of a sudden like comes in with another statement that fuels it. And they're helping you stay in your stuff. You ever have that happen? Well, you need to put an axe to that. You need to stop that. And you need to tell them to stop it in love. And say, I'm not going to say anything negative or bad at all anymore. Now, when you get your lips under control, that's not it. That's just the beginning. That's like stage one. You know what I'm saying? How do I know this stuff, okay? That's like stage one, okay? Let me do it better. When I get my lips under control, that's stage one. And now I've got to work on my heart and how my heart is responding. This is just practical things that we don't talk a lot about in the church, but God's saying, you want supernatural doors to open for you? Then make sure that this is right. You think I'm going to bless your socks off? You think I'm going to do all these things? And behind, you're talking about leadership behind their back. You're talking about your friends and family behind their back. See, God wants us to get close, so close to him that his sweet aroma begins to have its way in all of our conversation and everything. And you may say, come on, dude, you can't live. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can live under the control of the Holy Spirit. You can live in complete obedience to the Lord. You can overcome every aspect that's keeping you from being in that place with him if you'll just keep saying yes and keep going at it. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You know whose lips have the biggest control over your life? Yours. Your lips. If you can begin to stop some of the things that you say and start speaking life, start speaking blessing. You speak life and blessing over these politicians. Instead of acting so stinking hateful. And you call it in the name of Jesus. I can't stand it in my life. And I'm definitely not going to stand it in the movement of the kingdom of God that's going forward here. I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. And if I stumble and fall, I'm going to get back up and say, yes again, Lord. Here's the thing that you got to understand. You might have seen somebody in their stuff, and you might still be judging them because of something you saw them in, but you have no idea where they've been with the Lord since that time. You don't know how many times they said yes to the Lord. You don't know how many times they wept. You don't know how many times they're sorry over some of the actions that you might have seen them in that you're still judging them about. The Lord loves you guys so much, so much. There's so many rewards available from Christ. So love your enemies. We have the greatest impact when we love our enemies. It messes people up. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Endures all things. Love never fails. So love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Affirm them. Maybe ask the Lord, what are some of the virtues in their life that I can see? Or maybe I don't know any virtues. Can you show me how you view them, Lord? Can you show me how you see them? Can you show me how you see Israel? And so I can understand. Can you show me how you see the church, the Michiana area, Lord? Because I want to affirm their virtues. I want to affirm them. I hope that we can enter into a place of honor and virtue that will become a river of encouragement to people. So bless those who curse you. It's a struggle to get liberated from it, but you can do it. And I'm not, you know what? So I get this in perspective for you guys. I'm not telling you that you, with your enemies, you got to go on vacation with them. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just saying you got to get to the place where you can bless them and be okay with them and let them go. You know? And man, as soon as you feel that little judgment start coming up in your spirit again, boom. Guys and gals, you got to love your spouse. Those who are single, you've got to love the Lord until he opens up the door. Again, I want to make sure to say this again. You can write this down. The most influential voice that marks you, is your own voice, your own lips. Do good to those who hate you. Just look, the only thing I wrote down was just try to find some practical ways to do something good to somebody that hates you. Have you ever done that before? Where's it at? Oh, Romans 12, 14 through 21. Isn't this good? This is Paul. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not avenge yourselves. Don't avenge yourselves. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans 12, 14 through 21. And don't you know that Paul was a real nasty guy before? He was just probably hardcore, right? Then he probably was just hardcore. But man, he got in the place that he could say that, could speak that through the Holy Spirit. There we go. Get a picture of them in your mind and just bless them. Just pray over them. Pray for those who persecute you. And I said earlier that, you know, Jesus prayed for those that were killing him. Now, this is a scripture that to me is just a big, big statement, and it's verse 45, and it says that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's so powerful, man. That's a big, big, big statement that you, if you love your enemies, man, the Lord has it all together. Luke 6:35 says, love your enemies, you'll be sons of the Most High. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He is, isn't he? He's so patient. He's just so long-suffering. It's amazing. Here's another thing, and again, this is a point. I'm all for healings and signs and wonders. Love that stuff, okay? I think it's great when we hear the testimonies of what God is doing and how he's moving on people's lives. But let me get your attention about something, and maybe you can challenge me on this. But all the healing that Jesus did, only 120 of them made it to the prayer room. All the signs and wonders when it came down to things. Follow me? Only 120 of them made it to the prayer room. What does that say? How about Moses? All the signs and wonders that God did, and how many crossed over to the promised land? Guys, signs and wonders, it's exciting. It's awesome. We give him the glory and we praise him. But what God's trying to do with all of you and with me is to get your heart ready. It's about your heart, man. Just getting it ready so that you're real, you're genuine, you're authentic, you're dealing with the stuff that's hindering you. You're not pointing the finger anymore. You're getting right before the Lord and letting him do what he needs to do. You're not saying, well, if they do this and do that, man, boom, it would happen. Not saying that things need to be done for things to happen. I agree. But the fact is, if your heart isn't right in it, you're just hindering it. You're just going to be, you're going to be a stick in the spokes pretty soon anyway. God's just trying to get our hearts right so we can do this thing right. And we really are lovers of God, voluntary lovers that are on fire for him. Man, when we, we watch a football game, but then boom, we're in the Word. We're praying. We're worshiping. You guys are awesome. You're being patient. Okay. I'm going to read Matthew 5, 11 through 12. It says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There's a quote by a guy by the name of Alfred Plummer, and I got it here. It's this is what it says. To return evil for good is devilish. To return good for good is human. And to return good for evil is divine. Isn't that a good quote? I like that one. Okay, we're going to close. Michael, come on up. I'm just going to pray. And this is what I want to pray over you guys. And I want to pray that today you can entrust yourself to the Lord completely about every area of your life. And to know that I've said before, no one can stop the hand of God in your life except you. No Saul could stop David, right? Only David could stop David. So why don't you stand with me just for a moment? Lord, I ask that you would help liberate our spirits, that we would entrust ourselves to you completely. That no one has authority to stop our God-ordained destiny. No one but us. And so we say yes, God, that you are the one that vindicates us. You are the one that gives grace. So we entrust our lives to you today. We ask for liberation. That's number one. We entrust our lives to God. Number two, help us see the big picture. And even to know, just like Joseph knew, that the enemy many times is our opportunity to reveal that you are real. Joseph saw the big picture, and he saw God's purpose. And he realized that God used it. So no matter what situation we're in, God, let us see the big picture. Number one, we give ourselves to you. Number two, let us see the big picture. And then number three, to know that every brother and sister that is in the faith, that have accepted you as their Lord and Savior, we will be with for all eternity. They are our eternal friends. So even now in this moment, we ask God, would you help us in this day and in this night and in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to lay it all down, to pray for those who have hurt us, that we would have a change of heart, and that we would become liberated in our spirit for those spiritual doors to open on our behalf. Oh Lord, we have a lot to consider today, so help us. You said in your word to be perfect as you are perfect, to be mature as you are mature. Love you. God, I ask that you would establish everything you need to do in this ministry to go forth for your glory and for your honor. And that all that we would do would be for your glory, and the blessings would keep coming down as we rest in your yoke. We thank you, Lord. We give ourselves to you this day for your glory. Forgive us where we've done wrong and said wrong things. Boom, it's done. You forgive us. Now help us to be liberated to move on into your purpose and destiny, and to be ready for every opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys have a wonderful, beautiful day. And just seek Jesus and lay it all down. Just lay it all down. Hopefully you are encouraged. Let the word encourage you. Stay in the Sermon on the Mount. It is the constitution of God, no doubt. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it will help you. Have a joyful day and forgive, forgive, forgive. Be free, be free, be free.